Now, the Supreme Court today faces a question of increasing importance in the age of social media. What constitutes a threat on Facebook? Anthony Alonis was convicted of making threats against his estranged wife and an FBI agent. His language was explicit and grisly. And so we must give you a warning. This report contains disturbing material. If you have children listening, you may want to turn down the radio for about 7 minutes. Here's NPR's Nina Totenberg.
After Alonis' wife left him, taking with her their two children, her husband began posting about her on Facebook. The following is a reading of some of those posts.
There's one way to love you, but 1,000 ways to kill you. And I'm not going to rest until your body is a mess, soaked in blood, and dying from all the little cuts. Hurry up and die, b-.
In another post, Alonis wrote, "Revenge is a dish that's best served cold with a delicious side of psychological torture." Alonis' wife went to court, and after a 3-hour hearing attended by both of them, she obtained a restraining order barring her estranged husband from threatening, harassing, or contacting her, even indirectly. Alonis, however, was undeterred. Just 3 days after the court hearing, he posted this Facebook message publicly.
"Did you know that it's illegal for me to say that I want to kill my wife? Now, it was okay for me to say it right then, because I'm just letting you know that it's illegal for me to say that."
The post included a link to a satirical sketch with nearly identical words, but about the president.
"Did you know that it's illegal to say I want to kill the president of the United States of America?"
Roughly a week later, Alonis posted this about his wife.
"Fold up your protective order and put it in your pocket. Is it thick enough to stop a bullet?"
A day later, he said he was ready to, quote, "make a name for himself with the most heinous school shooting ever imagined."
"Hell hath no fury like a crazy man in a kindergarten class. The only question is, which one?"
The post got the attention of FBI agent Denise Stevens, who visited Alonis at home. Afterwards, he posted this message.
"Little agent lady stood so close, took all the strength I had, not to turn the ghost, pull my knife, flick my wrist, and slit her throat, leave her bleeding from her jugular in the arms of her partner."
Alonis was indicted on 5 counts of interstate communication of illegal threats. At his trial, he acknowledged that his verse had some of the same violent themes as rap songs, but noted that he'd said explicitly that he was only exercising his First Amendment free speech rights, and he pointed out that he had linked to other similar artistic expressions, the comedy sketch or rap artists like Eminem, whose songs have fantasized about killing his ex-wife. At the end of the trial, the judge instructed the jury that to convict, it must find that the Alonis Facebook posts constituted true threats, meaning that in context, a reasonable person would foresee that the statements would be interpreted by his targets as a serious expression of an intent to inflict bodily injury. Alonis was convicted and sentenced to 44 months in prison. He appealed all the way to the Supreme Court, contending that under the Constitution and the federal threat statute, a jury must find not just that a reasonable person would interpret the words as threatening, but that Alonis actually intended his words to be threatening.
If the question had been, what did he intend? Did he intend to place her in fear? I think it would have been an entirely different trial.
John Elwood will argue Alonis' case in the Supreme Court today.
The jury wasn't instructed to look to the right thing. It was still asked about what a reasonable person would think, not what he would have thought.
And indeed, Elwood points to evidence that he contends shows Alonis never intended to put his wife in fear of her life.
The disclaimers that he posted all around the page saying basically, this is all for entertainment purposes only, or this is venting, you know, don't take this too seriously. And when you put that all in context, that is what we think is indicative that he did not have an intent to put anyone into fear.
Elwood notes that lots of great songs have fantasies about revenge, like the Beatles' Run for Your Life. But longtime federal prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald sees the context differently. He notes that most of the posts here occurred after Alonis' wife had gotten a protective order and were posted without restriction on his Facebook page. Thus, the jury concluded that the husband reasonably foresaw what the reaction would be.
That the wife would read this and think, this is not an artistic statement. This is not a political statement about a larger cause. This is trying to get inside her head and make her think that there could be someone doing violence to her.
Fitzgerald rejects the comparison to Eminem's rap fantasies.
You can't sort of have this little out where you dress up a threat as being a rap lyric. If a reasonable person perceives it as a threat, that he shouldn't be allowed to do it and terrorize people.
Fitzgerald, who served 24 years as a federal prosecutor, 11 of them as U.S. Attorney for Chicago, sees threats as such a problem that he actually put a threat button on his prosecutors' computers in Chicago, requiring them to report any threat to a witness, prosecutor, or judge.
There is an epidemic of threats out there, and with the Internet, it's going to get worse. So in terms of the societal value in making sure that there's a safe zone where people aren't picking up the Internet and feeling like they're being singled out for violence, that's a very, very real issue.
Cindy Southworth, vice president of the National Network to End Domestic Violence, underlines the point, contending that Facebook and other social media sites enable abusers to reach their victims with a click of the mouse or a touch of the screen.
We have stalking statutes all over the country that are based on a reasonable person versus proving the intent of the stalker or abuser. So I'm quite concerned about what ripple impact this may have on other statutes and other prosecutions if we have to somehow get into the mind of an abuser.
But most of the Friend of the Court briefs filed in the case argue that if the court allows the Alonis conviction to stand, it could have enormous implications for free speech rights and artistic expression. Briefs full of references to the F word and female sexual anatomy attempt to provide a crash course on rap storytelling for justices whose tastes, as one writer put it, run more to Wagner and Puccini than Eminem and Wu-Tang Clan. A decision in the case is expected by summer. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington. You better run for your life if you can.